guests and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning. You have tuned into Problem Corner on KFAR Radio. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox. I'm filling in for he who cannot be named. And with me in the studio is Jomo Stewart from Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation. And if you want to join the program, have any questions or comments, the number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And we're going to be talking about the annual FEDC's annual economic report and what that means and what can we get out of it. But before we do that, Choma reminded me that the Chamber of Commerce city mayor and council debate, I guess they call that.
Forum.
Forum.
There candidate
go. That
forum.
Was the right forum. Yeah. Forum. That's a better word than debate. Yes. Anyway, that's going to be at the 8-Star Event Center starting at noon. And the 8-Star Event Center is over off of 30th Avenue.
Yeah, south side of the Mitchell.
South side of the Mitchell. Right. So don't head down to the Westmark where you usually find the Tuesday Chamber of Commerce meeting. Go to the 8-Star Event Center if you want to hear about the city council and mayoral candidates. So with that, Jomo.
Sir, good morning.
Good morning, sir. What can you tell us about the annual economic report?
Sure. So, hey, everybody. Good morning. Again, Jomo Stewart, Fairbanks Economic Development. I have the honor and privilege of serving as the president and CEO of your Economic Development Corporation. Yes. And so this is our annual economic report. Yearly, we try to do an analysis of the Fairbanks economy, really the broader borough economy, and then cook it down into a digestible report for the public. So just to step back, you know, here at FEDC, we do a bunch of stuff. We do a bunch of stuff. And so, you know, quite a bit of it historically has been like direct service to different businesses and industry sectors across our economy, things like agriculture, energy, mining, military, and we do. But starting a couple of years ago, you know, we'd gotten calls, particularly from policymakers. You know, there's a lot of information out there. I mean, a lot. And you can access it. You know, it's spread across Department of Labor, the U.S. Census Bureau, Economic Development Administration, Small Business Administration, Department of Commerce. I mean, you start going down the list. And we also have in this community a total gem for economic data relative to our economy, and that is the Fairbanks North Star Borough Community Research Quarterly. And just like the name says, it is a quarterly report of key economic indicators in our community. All great. But policymakers and the public had come to FEDC saying, you know, this is great. I mean, this information is out there, but it's a wall of numbers. It can be a wall of numbers.
Yep.
And could FEDC assist in helping make that data, that information digestible to the public, add some meaning to the numbers, and maybe give a little insight behind them. And so, last year we went ahead and carved out some funding in our budget to go ahead and perform for the first time in some years a soup to nuts, wide-ranging analysis of our economy and key industry sectors. And it was very well received last year, and so we did it this year, and we'll be doing it as we move forward. And so, yes, just for everyone, if you'd like to see it, because we're going to be talking about it and some of the numbers, if you go ahead and Google FEDC, F as in Frank, you know, EDC, Fairbanks, that'll take you to our website and all of this information. You either have a link from the homepage or you can go right back to our economic reports. Mm-hmm. And you can find both the one that we did for this year, which is this what we're going to be talking about. You can find the business climate survey we did and reported on this spring. And then you can find the annual economic report from last year. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's always good to know.
Well,
and good to review last year's and compare it to this year's.
And compare it to this year's.
The big question is always the trends.
The trends. Yep. Just one other little data point. You'll notice when you look in it, we continue to use 2019 as a comparative year. You know, the last year before the COVID fracas mm-hmm. did a little bit of a big wave and rope-a-dope on the national and statewide and local economy. Mm-hmm. So we could use that as more of a kind of a hopefully more reflective baseline, for an assessment. So at the very highest level, you can just know that the report, you know, of course, it has an intro, but we go through things like our demographics, our migration, in and out migration, economic indicators, purchasing power, energy costs, labor force, and then we've done a deeper dive into some key industry sectors this year. Mm-hmm. Again, last year, it was all very wide-ranging because we hadn't done it in a while. Nobody had done it in a while. So we really touched – we did a deeper dive on just about everything. This year, we still have a lot of that, but again, we did offer additional specificity on things like construction, government, our hospitality, leisure and hospitality sector, natural resource development and mining, and transportation and warehousing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so just just roll on.
Roll on. We're waiting. We got to put the thing into context,
okay.
And then I'm sure that will generate some questions.
Okay.
Yep.
So one of the very first things we have in there is a bit of an outlook. We did try to both last year and this year again give a little outlook of the current year and moving through say the current year, which this year is 2025. Mm-hmm. So we did a business climate survey early in the year, and you know, kind of one of the questions we asked and really, we were trying to focus as much as possible on our private sector business community. Kind of what do you feel for your business is kind of the outlook for 2025? And it was mixed, truth to tell. You had an equal breakout between those businesses that thought that things would get better through 2025 and those who thought it would get worse.
Mm-hmm. Was there any sort of common denominator between those groups, those who are optimistic and those, in business we say, those who are bullish and those who are bearish.
Bearish.
Yes.
There was. So again, we did have a change of administration, and every administration comes in the door with differing policies,
right.
Usually. I mean, even if it's of the same party, they'll generally have slightly different priorities.
Mm-hmm.
And so there had been messaging, you know, since November and before the election as to kind of some of the things that might be in the offing. And you know, our economy here locally is heavily dependent on government spending. And we'll get into that a little bit. It is just heavily dependent on government spending. 70 cents of every dollar that pings around this economy originates somehow, some way in government. And a good chunk of that is federal. And a lot of the things that were being proposed were some pretty big changes on the federal level. And so, the commonality really is just, again, these businesses were looking at the federal administration.
Right.
But again, depending on the nature of your business and what you felt was your exposure to what might be on the offing, I think kind of colored things.
Right.
I feel like natural resource development, mining, you know, those kinds of things tended to be more bullish.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the ones that were maybe a little not bearish but felt a higher degree of uncertainty were, say, retail actors who were heavily dependent on international value chains.
Oh, that'll be a good place to continue. But we are at about a quarter after the hour, so we have to take a break here for some words from our sponsors. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, and we're talking about economic development, and we will be right back after the break. Stay with us.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Hello, I'm William Shatner. Blood Bank of Alaska. As the sole blood and blood product provider in the state of Alaska, BBA provides blood products to virtually every hospital in the state, including all tribal and military medical facilities. We ask that you donate today. Your blood or platelet donation can save your fellow Alaskan's life.
This message brought to you by the radio station 529 Fifth Avenue.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with a slight chance of rain. Highs level off around 43. Winds out of the south around 5 miles per hour. Lows level off around 33 tonight. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Highs level off around 50 tomorrow. Cloudy skies. Mid-40s Thursday and Friday with showers both days. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Okay, and we are back. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Thank you for staying with us. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, and with me in the studio is Jomo Stewart of the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation. And we're talking about their annual economic report and overview of how things are going in the Fairbanks area. And if you have any questions about that or comments, the number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. So, Jomo, we were talking about the bulls and the bears.
Bulls and the bears. Yes. So one of the ways I got invited to do a presentation on the Fairbanks economy to a statewide group, and the phrase I came up with was economic lemonade. Because in any economy, again, you're going to have some stuff that's doing really, really well, or hopefully you'll have some stuff that's doing really, really well. You may have some headwinds or some things that are not doing quite so well. So it's always a bit of a mixed bag. But I like to think that, we tend to land, thank goodness, on the sweet side. Yeah. But let's just start walking through it.
Right.
So on demographics, I am sorry to report that we are continuing to we have been on a long trend since really the early 2000s of population decline. Mm-hmm. Now, we've had some things that have come along that have helped, that have kind of buoyed us. So we're not getting what would be the full impact without some other shifts. The example would be, say, the introduction of the F-35s that brought a nice chunk of really sizable chunk, 3% population increase. Hmm. So that was good. We have had some continuing military mission growth here in the community, and so that has helped. So when we looked at 2024 and the data up into 2025, yes, we did find that we have been having continuing contraction in those children, those young people, and those young working age adults. Mm-hmm. We did see that continue, and we are having a real number growth in the number of seniors in our population. So over the last 10 years, our population has shrunk about 1%. But I am happy to report that actually we did get a bit of a bounce back from the data. Between 2023 and 2024, our population actually grew by a bit over 1,000 people and almost 1.5%. Mm-hmm. And so that does buck the long-term trend.
Right. And do you have a breakdown? Is that the working age population, senior population, is it broken down into those areas?
Yes. Well, okay. So, just in very big buckets, mm-hmm. we did have, we had a little increase in our under 20 population. We had a bit of an increase, pretty good actually, increase. Looks like, pretty good increase, 600. Maybe a little plus of our working age population, and again about a 5% increase in our senior population. Mm-hmm. Now we do continue to experience net out migration,
right.
But if you don't mind, I'd like to just give a quick read, because I always like to have just give everybody the positive, man, because at least it starts the conversation off on an up foot. So again, our population did buck the long term trend, and we did have a little population increase. between 2023 and 2024. Enrollment at UAF, those undergrads, they did continue to increase. That was great. The price of gold is up. Our total labor force went up. Our total average earnings, but we'll dip into that a little bit more. Fort Wainwright and Eielson Air Force Base contributed, 20% more to the economy on a cash basis for Fort Wainwright. And about a percentage point increase as far as Eielson Air Force Base. And again, the military makes up a fairly substantial portion of our population and our economy. Our bed tax revenues were up. And as far as the state was concerned, our median hourly wage also went up a bit, actually a good 4.2%. That is good news.
And a shout out to the university. They are bucking the national trend. And I haven't got exactly all the details of why that's working out, but it is working out. So that's hats off to the university.
Yeah, I wish I could have gotten my daughter who just graduated to join the on-campus undergrad freshman population, but that's a personal story. Yeah. So, yes, again, we did have a bit more out-migration. Essentially, we had more people leaving our community, heading down to Anchorage. And we did have some people replenishing us, though, coming in from our rural neighbors. Mm-hmm. And so that's nice. As far as purchasing power is concerned, so we did have and everybody knows it, we did have a pretty good, we had a bit of a roller coaster ride, upward roller coaster ride on inflation over 2023 into 2024, peaking out at about 2.2%. So that was up from a point, percent and a half in 2023 up to 2.2%. Fortunately, that was balanced in our economy. Our total earnings were up 8% community-wide to about $2.6 billion, with the average annual wage across our community up, say, 5.5% to just under $68.4 million. Mm-hmm. And so $68,400. Mm-hmm. We like last year, we were having higher inflation, but fortunately, wages seem to be going up in a way that led to a little bit of a net positive. It didn't feel that way. Certainly, you went to get that carton of eggs and you noticed.
Right.
But again, that's always a benefit.
Yeah. Well, this is the overall. It doesn't apply to any individual specifically, but overall things went up. And there was people coming in for the F-35s and also the Manh Choh Gold Project started up.
Correct.
Yes.
Well, any engineer will tell you, you put one hand in a vat of molten lava and the other hand in liquid nitrogen, right, and the average temperature is quite comfortable.
Yes.
So as far as our cost of living index, we actually weren't doing too bad. Our cost of living actually is, in aggregate, is a little bit better than Anchorage, a little bit better than Juneau, and considerably better than, let's say, a major metropolitan center like Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Again, marginally better than, say, Anchorage, but still a little bit on the plus side. Now, some of the things that were kind of weighing on our these costs, this cost of living index, are things like our utilities and our healthcare costs, which mm-hmm. tend to be they're average on both above average on both a statewide and a national basis, and so that is acting as a bit of a drag. Some interesting data regarding housing. So when it came to our housing comparison, again, we like to try to compare us to our peer economies, and then we try to pick one for an analytical basis of some place that kind of looks like us in the lower 48. But just as far as like our in-state peers, we are experiencing a bit of a higher average rental rate mm-hmm. than they are experiencing in Anchorage, Juneau, or Matsu. However, that is balanced by the fact that we do have a bit nicer home purchase average. So where the average home down in Anchorage will cost you over $500,000, our data said $509,000. $500,000. In Juneau, even higher, $524,000. And even as high as almost $450,000 down in Mat-Su. Our average was, over 2024 was running more in the 362.5 range. So again, we have some challenges, but that's definitely one of those things where we're not at a complete competitive disadvantage. Mm-hmm. How are we doing?
Well, we're doing okay. We've got about 4 minutes until the satellite comes over and we have to take a break.
Okay. Well, then if you don't mind, let's do a little dive.
Okay. That sounds good.
One of the things I insisted on last year and that we have always done over at FEDC is, of course, you know, we work really hard on energy. If I had to identify one thing that would really help unleash our economy again, it would be a reduced and stabilized cost of energy. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we did last year was, and we did again this year, is to try to show people where you could get the best bang for the buck. It's mostly on your space heating. And this year, we found that actually, based on last year's numbers, the best bang for the buck in 2024 was, in fact, natural gas, where you got the most BTUs per dollar. Mm-hmm. Now, again, there's lots of factors in that. Things like, again, the efficiency of your furnace. Are you cutting your own wood? Are you hauling your own fuel oil? But when we stacked up, again, like really the kiln-dried wood, the price of fuel pellets plus the electricity, the cost of oil with its delivery, mm-hmm. last year, natural gas actually stacked up to give you the biggest bang for the buck. So it was really close last year or for the 2024 analysis, and it continues to be so today.
Mm-hmm. And that should stabilize a bit. I think IGU is expecting the first load of LNG off the North Slope.
Imminently.
Imminently, like this month, next month. We're at the end of this month.
Yes. I just heard from their executive director. They're planning to have a first gas party like sometime at the very, very top of October.
Oh, good.
At least that was the pre-planning.
Yep.
And so I know that we need to, I believe, do a bit more to help people in the conversion to natural gas. But thank you, State of Alaska. Thank you, Mike Prox. Thank you, our interior delegation, the whole legislature, for the assistance they gave us in building out that infrastructure to try to provide a cleaner burning, delivered energy alternative to help diversify our energy mix.
Right. And, of course, I was most concerned about the area around North Pole, that is the official monitor at Hearst and Dawson. And they did put in a couple of miles, I guess, of main line and then some distribution line around that area. And that will help alleviate the PM2.5 problem, which has been a real drag.
You might invite Elena in. Again, I don't want to speak out of turn. Mm-hmm. I know that when I was, helping them and then in charge, when they did that initial installation, they had gone all the way up to Hearst Road, north yep. of the highway. Mm-hmm. And I believe they have been doing extensions even further north because that yes. that really kind of bifurcated what they used to call the trapezoid of
yep.
of bad air.
Yep.
The hottest hot spot.
Yes. And yes, they have put in lines. Uh-oh, now I got to think if it's north and south or east or west, down to the left and to the right of Hearst Road. So they're covering more of that area around there. So, all right. So I hear the music starting in the background. That means the satellite's coming over, and we're going to have to take a break for news and weather and some words from our sponsors. And so stay with us through that, and then we'll go maybe into, okay, what can we do about it next? And you're listening to Problem Corner, and your guest host is Mike Prox, and with me is Jomo Stewart, and we're talking about the Fairbanks Economic Development Report. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
More.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Lisa Brady. Guilty on all counts. The verdict just announced in federal court in Fort Pierce, Florida, for the man accused of trying to kill President Trump on a Trump golf course last September. Ryan Ruth had represented himself in this case, calling just three witnesses for his defense. He had told the jury he was just an attention seeker, that there was no intent to kill because he never fired the gun. The gun, prosecutors say, was found in a sniper nest on the golf course. Again, the verdict now just read at federal court in Florida, guilty on all counts for Ryan Ruth. He faced five charges in all, including attempted assassination of a presidential candidate. The president was just a candidate at the time. He also faced three weapons counts and assaulting a federal officer. This is a Fox News alert.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Jaeger's Daily News reports in April, June Watkins and Doug Turner were walking their dogs on Sansend Beach near their home in northern Scotland. As Julie was taking a short swim in the cold water, her longtime partner found something unusual lying on the pebbles, an amber wine bottle. The bottle was sandy and partly covered with seaweed. Inside, they found a note saying it had been released on sea ice near Utqiagvik on Alaska's North Slope 6 years earlier. The author had drawn a picture of a whale on the back and signed it Craig George. John Craighead George was a prominent whale expert who lived in Utqiagvik for decades. He died in 2023, 3 years after setting the bottle adrift, leaving behind an extensive body of research. He published studies on things like how long bowheads can live and how long they can survive in cold waters. I suppose Craig lives on in that message, Watkins said. He probably lives on in so many other ways, but that was just one more thing. It's a story on the ocean currents and the way loved ones can surprise us even after they're gone, they
streaming
added.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
70 hours. That's the average time between each gun suicide in Alaska. That's less than 3 days. Help more Alaskans live longer by keeping your guns locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Storing guns safely is an important way to help prevent deaths of children, teens, or anyone in a difficult situation. If you or someone you know is in crisis, contact the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline by calling or texting 988. This message is sponsored by the Alaska Division of Behavioral Health, aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Don't miss the Tananaw Valley State Fair 10th Anniversary Fall Festival, Saturday, October 4th from noon to 6. Fall is a colorful time of year, and they're celebrating with food trucks, music, hay rides, a petting zoo, games, a movie, story time, and much more. You'll also be able to pick out a pumpkin and purchase it on the spot. This is a fun event for the entire family. The Fall Festival, Saturday, October 4th, noon to 6 at the Tananaw Valley State Fairgrounds. Only $6 a person or $15 for a single family. For more information, visit tvfsa.org.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, filling in for He Who Cannot Be Named, and Jomo Stewart of the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation, FEDC, and we're talking about the annual economic report, and we've kind of gone over some of the data. I don't know if we've got all of that, but then we got to start thinking about, all right, well, there's the data. What can we do to improve the situation? So, Jomo, continue.
Sure. So, yeah, we'll get there. We're not quite past the bottom of the hour. So again, this report's got all kinds of goodies in it. We try to provide you the data to be able to do your part. Policymakers, business owners, and just every John and Jane Q citizen. Mm-hmm. So again, give you a feel for how your economy's doing so that you can try to make good decisions. So if you, again, if you want to go ahead and get the full report, really hope you do. That's what we did it for. You just go ahead and Google FEDC Fairbanks, or you go to www.investfairbanks.com, and you can find it there on our website. So regarding like the profile of our labor force, that is something that's baked into this report. There's actually a chart that I think it's figure 11 and figure 12 that would kind of give you the relative breakout of what our employment is by sector, major sector, as well as kind of the aggregate wages provided into the economy by these different sectors. And for 2024, actually turns out again, you know, and it has been for quite a long time. You know, the largest is government, but followed by, say, healthcare, retail trade, leisure and hospitality. But again, you can see that breakout. Mm-hmm. By placing it next to or comparing it with the wages, you do get to see those industries that are, say, punching above their weight relative to the amount of dollars they're either paying their people or contributing into the economy. Mm-hmm. So examples of that punching above weight would be things like our utility sector, our natural resources and mining sectors. You know, we did briefly mention Manh Choh Mine mm-hmm. and the continued operability of Fort Knox, as well as, I mean, placer mining, the multiple scale mining. What else we got here? Construction, and then things like transportation, warehousing. So, again, you can see that breakout. What do we got here? Yeah, here we go. Construction is bringing a large portion of the community dollars that are in our labor force. So folks that saw the highest increase in wages over that time frame were, in fact, the construction industry. 23 to 2024 saw about a 6% increase. Utilities and energy sector, again, are one of the highest paying wage classifications in our community. Saw about a 3% increase. Natural resources and mining. And these are all sectors that are paying, you know, almost $9,000. Monthly wage. So these are good jobs in our community. Not necessarily the most bodies performing them, but some of the best paying jobs. Mm-hmm. Natural resources and mining saw like a whopping 7% increase, and transportation and warehousing saw an even bigger one at a whopping 11% increase. So as I said, when I spoke to the Chamber of Commerce, and again, we had seen the things that were happening both in our local and interior mining and development and exploration, but also the fact that we're that logistics hub mm-hmm. for what's going on the North Slope. Right. You know, my recommendation was, you know, if you've got a young person who's looking for a good job, making a good wage, with some prospects for having that good job and good wage for some, at least the next 3 to 5 years, trucking is one of them. Mm-hmm. And of course, our union, our trades sector. And I do thank you for this as well. Again, we as far as states of the union are concerned, I don't know if there are any that have as good a recognition of the value of the trades right. As the state of Alaska. And both on an academic basis, when it came to the Alaska Performance Scholarship, that relative parity of value mm-hmm. between the academic track and our trades and labor track.
Right.
Again, if I had to do it all over again, God bless FEDC, but I probably would have been a plumber. Okay.
Well, they are good paying jobs. Of course, I grew up in that world and worked on the pipeline for a number of years. And it is, they're really good jobs. Hard work.
But good jobs.
Good jobs. And we are getting better. The pipeline training center.
They just had a visit from the secretary.
From the secretary of
labor.
And she was impressed. Part of the reason is that this particular pipeline training center is multi-crafts. The crafts, you know, independently, their own individual trades, but then they hold exercises together, and they have a big final exam, if you will, where they all get together and put in some pipe and weld it up and put in the controls and everything else. And that really makes a difference. I saw that when I was working for Alyeska, as far as the trades working together. That really helps those projects come along. Decades ago, 50 years ago.
I was blown away. I mean, I had seen from Van Horn, you know, kind of the warehouses and mm-hmm. the main building, the classrooms and stuff. And a couple years ago, a friend took me actually back to the place where you get to really try it out. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a space that's associated with the training center you know, where you get to drive the dozer around and pick up the pipe and weld the pipe. So academic, real world, joint tutelage and application. It's one of the things, you know, the DOD, you know, and we all do appreciate so much about, like our JPARC and the systems we have up here with these exercises, is that we get to train with our allies in the closest you can get to real world application.
Right.
It's great.
Yep. And there's other trades. The university has done a good job over the years in certificate programs from the community college. They have a pretty good catering and the food service industry. And again, they go kind of throughout the whole thing and are turning out some really qualified people for that. Some of the, you know, just a business certificate, I don't know, out of county degrees I can think of, but below that.
Well, a friend of mine took the bookkeeping course up there.
Bookkeeping, yes.
Took the bookkeeping course up there and landed herself a nice job. In a good, stable career.
Yeah, worth checking out. And there are, well, lots of training programs, and it's worth spending some time looking into those. As you said, there's quite a demand for truck drivers because of the Moncho Project and the transportation and all the work on the North Slope. So there's plenty of opportunities and plenty of opportunities local. Look at this. We have a phone call. We better go to the phones. Good morning. You're on KFAR. Who am I speaking with?
Tom Kennedy.
Tom Kennedy, what's on your mind?
Hey, great show. Really enjoy it. Does he have numbers on the growth of Aurora tourism? That to me seems like the frontier area where we're seeing lots of growth and lots of increases in opportunities.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. That's an important sector. Yep.
So, of course, I would reach out to Scott McCray and the good folks over there at Explore Fairbanks. They have the data. What we did see was that we actually had a slight decrease in total number of jobs in the leisure and hospitality industry 2023 to 2024. However, again, we've all seen that the tourism itself is growing. So it's a little counterintuitive. We did have a slight decrease in, say, passenger flows and cargo flows through the airport. And we did have a slight decrease in jobs, but their wages went up. What do I have here? Their wages went up a full 7% 2023 to 2024. And the bed taxes went up, which all indicate that, again, the industry itself is doing pretty well. Now, again, I would reach out to Scott McCray. He said that it is, like everything else we're seeing, is a bit of a mixed bag. But certainly I was out there at Chena Hot Springs just this weekend. And, you know, the tourists are there. They're still there from the end of the summer season. But the number of tourists that I spoke to who are from out of town had come to see if they could see the auroras.
Yes.
So the aurora season has already begun.
Right. Yes. It was out very nice just a couple nights ago.
Well, I hope it was clear skies for them.
Well, it was at least when I was driving home.
that nice family from Australia.
Yeah. And that is a good industry. There is lots of room for growth, and especially the winter tourism. There isn't a lot of additional infrastructure. We're using what has already been built, the hotels, the bed and breakfasts, the rental agencies.
The roads.
The roads are all there, and we're getting more utilization out of all of that stuff by just expanding winter tourism. And again, my hat's off to the Explore Fairbanks folks. They really have done a good job building that up over, it's been decades, but that's how things work, because it takes a long time. You got to stick at it.
Yes, sir.
So, good.
Okay. So let's see.
We have another call.
Oh, hey.
Look at this.
Yeah, I've read the report, guys. I'll take some questions.
Yeah. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Thomas. I'm just wondering how the narcotics and prostitution Fells went for the tourism and all you guys are talking about.
Narcotics and press. I don't know if we're tracking that.
I don't really give a hoot one way or the other, but I'm kind of curious.
Those are aspects of hospitality that, I'm sorry, sir, I haven't tracked.
Yep. And then people go crazy and destroy and sell their stuff. So
yep.
I imagine it's to make money for everybody.
Well, that is still a challenge.
Actually, Mike, if I may.
Yep.
So I do have the pleasure of being on part of the borough mayor's Civ Mill group.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we did have a presentation from the troopers recently that said that, you know, we are kind of seeing some transitions in our criminal marketplace. And that it's something we're going to actually have to kind of keep our eye on.
Yep.
So if you ask me, I've watched discussions of natural gas and a natural gas pipeline. They predate my birth by decades.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally have participated in these discussions for over 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel that this is more imminent than it has ever been.
Yep.
For some structural reasons.
Yep. And let's go into that. But right now we are at a little bit past 1:45 the hour, and we have to take a break to listen to some messages.
Things are going well.
All right. Well, thank you for calling. And like I say, we have to take a break, listen to the weather report and some messages from the people that make this program possible. So stay with us. We will be back in a few minutes.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Listen to KFAR Monday through Friday at 7:40 AM and 2:03 PM for the Precious Metals Report brought to you by Gold Buyers of Alaska. You can trust Gold Buyers of Alaska and their incredible attention to detail. Buy or sell gold, silver, bullion, investment metals. Protect your wealth and build your individual retirement account with Gold Buyers of Alaska, 915 30th Avenue. The Precious Metals Report, Monday through Friday on KFAR at 7:40 AM and 2:03 PM. Gold Buyers of Alaska.
As the local elections are upon us once again, and as you head to the polls to cast your vote, I want to remind you of a great candidate we have running for Borough Assembly, J.T. McComas Rowe. J.T. has the qualities we need to make the tough choices. He's a master plumber, a business owner, and employer. J.T. believes in your property rights and knows that responsible budgets help protect our tax cap. Folks, the choice is clear. Vote J.T. McComas Rowe for Assembly.
Paid for by McComas Rowe for Assembly, P.O. Box 72789, Fairbanks.
How can you free your team from time-consuming office tasks? Amazon Business. Smart business buying tools enable buyers to find and purchase items fast so they can focus on strategy and growth. Free up your teams and focus on your future. Learn more at AmazonBusiness.com.
Check engine or ABS light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When your name's on the paint job, your primer better hold up. Painter's Trust kills primers for serious adhesion, stain blocking, and a finish that lasts. Now, the full Kills lineup is available exclusively at the Home Depot. Need it fast? Get same day or next day delivery, or order online and pick it up in store. Kills primers. Pro results. Faster. The Home Depot. If you're a pro, you know.
KFAR weather.
Slight chance of rain today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 43. Southerly winds around 5 miles will sip down to about 33. Tonight, mainly cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 50. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, and with me in the studio is Jomo Stewart of FEDC, and we're talking about their annual economic report and we'll spend the last 10 minutes or so talking about what can we do about all of this.
What can we do about it? Again, either to meet and mitigate some of our challenges or to capitalize on some of our opportunities. Mm-hmm. So over the course of 2024, FEDC has done, again, some pretty big data collection enterprises. Some of them general, say like the business climate survey. Some with more specificity, say the assisting with the updating of the community's comprehensive economic development strategy, where we did go through and have roundtables with most or all of the major industry sectors that build our make up our economy. And then finally, this report. Now, some common themes that came through. Now, let's use the SEDS. Part of the SEDS is, hey, what's going well, but also, hey, what's a challenge and what can we do to meet that challenge? Mm-hmm. So again, these different industries, of course, being different industries with different needs, there were some differences, things specific to different industries or businesses, but then there were some common themes and some commonalities that came through. And so things that kind of came out is common challenges that are kind of impacting things across the board, whether you're the construction industry or the military or transportation or academe, it's things like the cost of energy, as we talked about earlier, things like the cost and availability of housing, the cost and availability of child care, the cost and availability of health care. Okay. Now, on the plus side, on the upside, these are well recognized. We haven't fixed them, quote unquote. But as far as working to address them, they've been recognized and people are working to try to wrap their arms around these problems and how we might build solutions. Mm-hmm. Another thing we benefit from as a community, of course, is just the fact that except for the cost of energy, where in some places they're doing okay, pretty much coast to coast, cost and availability of housing, cost and availability of healthcare, cost and availability of childcare. Every community is facing these challenges. Yeah. So we're not necessarily overly rather disadvantaged as an economy. When it comes to housing specifically, FEDC has been working with – we're working in partnership with the University of Alaska Fairbanks to do a housing needs assessment and create a housing action plan, housing development action plan, mm-hmm. with a timeline of having both of these things complete by December 31st of this year. Something that we can offer to folks like yourself, Rep. Mm-hmm. Prox, to say, hey, these are some things that we've identified that you might work on the state level that might make it easier or right. make some improvements. There is going to be a housing summit occurring in third week of October. We've done this in partnership with the borough for years and now in partnership with the UAF. And really, that's directed – the target audience for that housing summit historically has actually been the building and development and investment community, mm-hmm. where we try to work with some of our partners like the military, the realtors, to try to, as best we can, wrap our arms around the market demand coming out of next build season, say build season of 2026, to let them know, hey, this is the kind of scale of build – that you could do, because this is the kind of demand we see,
right.
so that you can have, not assurance that it'll pay out, but maybe diminished risk right. to help encourage them to go ahead and pull trigger. So again, that's going to be happening end of October, third week of October.
Good.
When it comes to cost of energy, again, at FEDC, we advocate for, we actually helped stand up the Interior Gas Utility. Mm-hmm. We try to work with, when it was the last administration and there was opportunity for some diversification using renewables, we helped try to encourage those kinds of installations as long as they were economic and tended to reduce our costs.
And that's a very important thing to think about, is that all the investments that you make, even in government investments, there has to be some projected payback, the preservation of capital. We are a capitalist economy, and it is investment in capital that makes things advance, some places more than others.
Well, some things can be a heart payback.
Yep.
I was watching, this was – I just was watching a historical program, and they mentioned the New Deal and, you know, the fact of the number of parks that got installed then. I mean, people were out of work. Part of the work was basically putting in community amenities, and we all still benefit from those. So it doesn't have to be all dollars and cents, but positive dollars and cents do help. Either because they're generating a return for the state or because they're reducing cost on the citizenry, which benefits the constituency.
Another, I got to kind of.
Energy.
Keep going on energy.
We all just saw the recent announcement, fairly recent announcement, that they had selected a vendor for the microreactor project out there at Eielson Air Force Base. So, of course, for a long time, we've been assisting to try to, again, get those public forums to get that information out on the street. So we're keeping an eye on that. And now that we have this new administration with that renewed focus on our more conventional energy resources, you know, let's see how far we can get on development of some of those conventional resources and maybe even some alternatives. Again, I look at this micro reactor or nuclear as one of those kind of alternative energy systems that might have wide potentiality. The most interesting facility for me when I went down with a group, thank you, Gwen Holdman, down to INL, Idaho National Lab. There, of course, there were lots of nuclear demonstrations, these different technologies, but they had a lab there that was working on testing, demonstrating the things that you could do with the energy that's coming out of one of these things. Yes, there's the whole spin electric, but, you know, again, what you've got is a source of a lot of potentially high temperature, a lot of process heat. And what can you be doing with this heat, as well as, again, the electric, things like reforming of molecules, you know, just neat stuff. And so, again, if that's going to be coming our way, as far as having that demonstration capacity, is there more that we can do? We had a dream of a former mayor that Fairbanks, Alaska should be the energy center of Alaska, the place where you go to test, demonstrate these technologies, innovative technologies, to see if they would work in the real world, and the opportunity that might come along with that. And so it's nice to see that, again, with this microreactor and some other things, that dream is coming to life.
And there has been quite a bit of advancement. Nuclear, when we think of nuclear, we think of Three Mile Island, but that was, 40 or 50 years ago. And there has been a lot of development. There's through, you know, ships and submarines, and people are learning new things. I think that's an exciting possibility for Alaska. Those, and especially these micro generators in package development. I think in some places, remote areas in Alaska, that has some real possibilities for gold mining. Larger, not the smaller villages. We haven't got one down to the 100 kW range, but some of the villages could profit from that, where they're paying so much for liquid fuel, basically.
Well, and energy storage.
Energy storage
is advancing. You know, taking that wind power, that solar power, and harnessing it when there's lots of it, so you can deploy it when you need or more. You know, those kinds of things.
And we're getting closer.
And we're getting closer.
Energy storage, a lot of work to be done, but that will make some of these renewable solar and wind that produce power, but, if you will, irregular power, that's the challenge with it. But if you can store that.
So that it can go out more like baseload?
Yeah, it can go out more baseload. That's the trick. Yeah. So it's good. So we have got about a minute left, so I think we better start wrapping things up.
Okay.
So, you want to do some closing comments.
Quick closing comments. Again, just to say, hi, Jomo Stewart, president of your Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation, working hard for you. Please know, again, that there's lots of information for you there on the FEDC website. So just Google FEDC Fairbanks or go to www.investfairbanks.com. And I hope you'll go check it out and get in the game.
All right. That sounds good. And, yes, I do hear the music in the background, so the satellite's coming over and the program is going to come to an end. Thank you for staying with us. And think about, yes, change involves opportunity. So think about that and tune in tomorrow. So we'll talk to you later.
Alaska.
This is a Fox News alert. A would-be assassin is convicted on Lisa Brady. Ryan Ruth, guilty on all counts in a second Trump assassination attempt on a golf course last September.